ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Trying to get it to Kramaski. Uh-oh. Lionel Messi around Zimmerman. Messi!
Lionel Messi scoring goals. There's something wonderfully certain about what fans will get when they come to watch this player for Barcelona, Argentina, Paris Saint-Germain, and now, checks notes, into Miami. Given he's maybe the best to have played, it's no wonder the 36-year-old is making a mess of defences in the United States in the Major League Soccer competition. But how is it working out from a broader all-of-game perspective? How do you measure the Messi effect? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Jason Gay is a senior sports writer for the Wall Street Journal. He's going to help us try to understand the effect Lionel Messi is having on the United States and sports in that country. Jason, when it was announced that he was coming to America, it came at a moment where it seemed every big name in soccer was being lured on enormous money to the Middle East. So how was it that Major League Soccer and Inter Miami landed Lionel Messi?
Well, first of all, I didn't quite believe it when I first heard it. You know, you mentioned that he was being courted by Middle East teams. He was also being, you know, there were possibilities of him going back to Barcelona. There was talk potentially Manchester City in the Premier League. MLS did not seem to be a possibility until it actually happened.
I would like to introduce to you your number 10.
The way it went down, it was a real collaborative effort. You had both obviously this team, Inter Miami, which is headed by David Beckham in Miami, Florida, but you also had the participation of Apple, which is now carrying all of the MLS games on its Apple TV streaming channel. And so, you know, we all know what a behemoth Apple is. And so once Apple entered the picture in terms of some kind of revenue share, I believe it's some sort of formula in which Messi is getting a cut of whatever sort of new subscriptions, MLS subscriptions are being generated by his addition. It became a really interesting economic offer, and it came together rather quickly. And since then, it's been as interesting a mania as we've seen in the United States in sports in quite some time.
Depending on who you read, it's sort of valued in the vicinity of 150 million US. I suspect it could even be more than that when you look at the revenue share, the ownership component with Inter Miami. It's GOAT level remuneration. Is he delivering GOAT level play from an on-field perspective?
He certainly did at first.
Robinson leaves, Busquets over to Jordi Alba. What a touch! Messi to his right. He keeps it on his left, of course. Oh, what a ball to Kramaski!
Oh!
To Messi!
You know, when he showed up to this team, the unusual dynamic is he showed up mid-season and Inter Miami was a pretty lousy football team at that moment. And there was very little he could do to run them to the top of the table, but they had good performances in a couple of in-game tournaments. He was very active. He scored a lot. He assisted on a number of goals. His participation, on road games. I mean, you're talking about fans in other cities who have to see Lionel Messi. They were, moving their games from 15,000 seat arenas to 75,000 seat American football stadiums just to accommodate the crowds.
Lionel Messi in League's Cup put on a show, and in 35 minutes tonight just gave New York City one of the best goals you will ever, ever see.
He did deliver a little bit of that magic. Now, this season, it's been a little bit more complex. Age is interfering and the standard arc of age and injury, and Messi has been hobbled by that a little bit this year.
He comes on, but the warm ovation for Lionel Messi, but a real disappointment to see Inter Miami star man leave the field. And one hopes it's something that he can bounce back from quickly.
So we haven't seen the kind of excitement around his play that we saw at initial launch, but the interesting part is Miami's a lot better team. They've added a number of his former friends like Busquets, and he has players around him who he is very familiar with, and they're a better football club, and so they are actually one of the better teams in the MLS.
You touched on there the idea of the interest that he is driving in this competition. And when it comes to fandom, you've written about we're kind of in the age of the idol, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Patrick Mahomes, that sort of acolyte fandom. What does it look like when you head to an Inter Miami game?
Well, let me start from the idea of like what his fame is to young people, because that was sort of the impetus for me to want to go to a game, because my kids were obsessed with the idea of seeing Messi in the flesh. Messi to them existed almost as kind of this fictional character. He played overseas. He was a player who, if you looked at him, you know, up close, you'd say, well, he doesn't look particularly athletic or extraordinary compared to some physical specimen or something like that. He is a smaller person, sort of sloop-shouldered, and yet, you know, inarguably one of the greatest talents in the history of any sport.
It's real, LeBron. He's still going. Look at this, Kevin. It's a brilliant run from Messi. Can he go all the way? It's one of the great Copa del Rey final goals from the magical, mercurial Lionel Messi.
So I think for a lot of American fans, just the actual notion to be in the same vicinity of this physical person had enormous allure. And they play not actually in the city of Miami, but a little north in the city of Fort Lauderdale, in a stadium that is not even a full-time stadium. It is a temporary stadium while they build another facility. And the place is filled to the rafters every time that they play. And the proportion of crowd, let me tell you this, I wish I got a dollar off of every Messi jersey that was sold at this facility, because, you know, you had nearly 90% of the crowd was wearing a Messi number 10 in this, you know, big flamingo pink color that Miami wears. It's almost more comparable to what you see the fuss around a pop star like a Taylor Swift than it is like a normal athletic type of experience.
It's funny you mention the flamingo pink. You won't believe it, Jason, but I see kids walking around in that very same strip here in Australia. And I think what we're talking about, as you sort of touch on, it's like going to see a great entertainer, a Taylor Swift. So as much as that can be sport, how does that translate to a meaningful ongoing development for Major League Soccer, do you think?
Well, that's a really good question, because, you know, you're, of course, you have the celebrity aspect of this, which is inarguable. People are coming to actually see this person in the flesh. They might not be invested in the competitive aspect of it. They don't care whether or not Inter Miami is winning the game, where they are in the table, you know, what the playoff situation, they might not be able to even name another player in Major League Soccer, to be candid. And I think that it's on MLS to capitalize on this moment and to make more prominent the other elements of this league, to, you know, develop rivalries, and you have these sort of other side characters and grow the game that way. I mean, we've seen in other sports, you know, in the United States with NBA basketball, when we had Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan come around, it wasn't sufficient just to pay attention to those three. The league had to build a much bigger fabric of a game around the three of them. I think that's the same responsibility that MLS has here. Because remember, we've been down a version of this road before in United States soccer with David Beckham, who now is Messi's boss, but was the original groundbreaker in terms of being a major international star coming over, you know, late to mid-career and starting over in MLS.
He leads it for Beckham, and he scores! David Beckham's first goal in MLS!
Yeah, it's interesting that you touch on that, because the aging star joining MLS, not new, Beckham, Thierry Henry, Luis Suarez. How do you think this league makes the jump from being almost a retirement home for aging superstars?
Well, this is the joke, right? And it's even funnier when you consider that the state of Florida, where Messi is playing, is in and of itself kind of a retirement community for many, many people from around the world. So he's already got a leg up in terms of where he's settling himself and his family. I think it's a, you know, it has to be some sort of combination of these big names who are coming from the international field, but then you have to be able to develop. And you have to have a couple of stars come up through the ranks of MLS and then go off to great international glory. I don't think we're going to see a day in our lifetime where MLS will be able to compete on the level of top-tier international soccer, but it certainly has the capacity, in fact, already has the capacity to develop superstar talent who can go over and play at a high international level. It's already done this, but it can do more of that. And I think that's the secret sauce here.
We've still got a little bit longer to see how the Messi effect unfolds in the United States. Jason Gay, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Headlines. Dalfanoukin has announced he's retiring effective immediately after being told by medical professionals to step away due to repeated concussions.
I spoke with Clint Newton, the CEO of the RBA, to sort of talk around potential avenues to return to play and potentially against medical advice, but at the end of the day, I wasn't able to come to fruition. And I'm obviously extremely disappointed about it, but I'm also excited about the next part of life as well.
The Sharks forward has battled with injury in recent times and has not played since round three when he suffered a facial fracture. Fanukin has played 251 NRL games for the Dogs, Storm and the Sharks. A 14-year-old skateboarder was the sole Australian to be honoured at the Laureus Awards, world sport's biggest awards gala. Arissa True was named Action Sportsperson of the Year after she became the first female skater to land a 720 in competition, aged just 13.
There you go, 720.
Novak Djokovic and Aitana Bonmatí were named Sportsman and Sportswoman of the Year, respectively. And Scottie Scheffler has continued his winning ways, taking out the RBC Heritage at Harbour Town overnight. Scheffler is the first player since Tiger Woods in 07-08 to win 4 out of 5 starts. His only aberration, a runner-up performance at the Houston Open. The world number one is also on a run of 40 consecutive rounds at par or better, which is insane. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Fenny. Thanks to Apple TV, Sky Sports, ESPN and Skate Light for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.